Okay, we'll call the meeting to order for the Public Safety and Security Policy and Finance Committee. It's a new name we have for the committee, so I think what we'll do instead of calling roll call is we'll go around and introduce each ourselves. And why don't we do with the staff included? I mean, just right up the line, instead of doing all members and then staff afterwards as we come up. And then just tell us what district you're from and a little bit about yourself, or what you were in the past life. Or, well, I guess it's the only job you have. All right, Jim, you want to start off? Representative Neuberger?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Jim Neuberger, 15D. This is my third term on this committee. I love this committee. It's a great committee to be on. It's an honor to serve here. My background in public safety, as most of you know, I'm a paramedic full-time for a level one trauma center. It'll be 29 years in April.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Nick Zerwas, state representative from Elk River, also my third term. And yeah, if I go in the Wayback Machine, I worked for a sheriff's office crime lab for 5 years as a fingerprint examiner, and then ran a private forensics lab for 5 years prior to the legislature.
Representative Lomer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am Representative Kathy Lomer. I serve District 39B, which is the East Metro along the beautiful St. Croix River, Stillwater End area. And this is my fourth term, but my third term on the public safety, and I love being on this committee. I do have a couple of prisons in my district, and just really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative O'Neill from Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, 29B, and I'm really passionate about specialty courts, and I used to work at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. So between my education in marriage and family counseling and chemical dependency, I have a great passion for reform and recovery.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Lucero. This is my second time on the committee, so I am looking forward and I'm excited to be back. I represent the great cities of Albertville, St. Michael, Otsego, Hanover, and the Wright County portion of Dayton, just northwest of the Twin Cities. My background is I had initially gone to school for public safety. I do have my Bachelor of Science in Law Enforcement, but then I took that another direction after completing skills and went into the digital space. So I do cybersecurity. It's what I've been doing for over a decade. So it's law enforcement capacity in the digital space, and definitely very important area as well. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Frankie, now I pronounce it right?
You did. Correct, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Frankie, District 54A, part of South St. Paul, parts of Cottage Grove, all of St. Paul Park, Newport, and Grey Cloud. I am a bar owner, so I've had some experience with the police. I also come from being a local mayor of St. Paul Park and work very closely with their public safety, so I am very passionate about getting them the support that they need. And just very happy and honored to be here. This is my first term and my first time on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Then our researcher, and then back across to.
I'm Brian Rosenblatt. I'm the GOP caucus researcher. I have a law background before I came here, which was in 2015. I was clerking for district court judge, and this is my second biennium assigned to public safety.
Thank you, Representative Russell.
Representative Matt Russell from District 2A, and my background is law enforcement, a retired deputy sheriff. Spent 6 years undercover narcotics investigations, and the last 5 years patrol and SWAT team.
Thank you, Representative Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff Howell. I represent District 13A, which is the Cold Spring area that wraps around St. Cloud. My background is I spent 27 years in the fire service, both career and volunteer, ranging from firefighter to fire chief and fire marshal. So that's where my passion lies.
Thank you. Our fiscal analyst.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is John Walls. I'm with the House Fiscal Analysis Department, and this is my 22nd year, I think.
Thank you. And our Vice Chair, Representative Johnson.
Brian Johnson. I'm from District 32A, which is most of Isani County and northern Chisago County. Spent 27-plus years in law enforcement, 10 years on the fire service, and a few years on ambulance service. Also have one of the prisons in my district as well, and I'm very much concerned for the safety of the public.
Thank you. And our CLA.
Hi, my name is Jason Rector. I'm the CLA for this committee. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from UW-Eau Claire, and I came here from Wisconsin, where I spent the last 2 years working in Madison.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
I'm Tony Cornish. I'm the chair of this committee, and my background is in law enforcement, retired cop.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I had a quick follow-up. Are you a Packers fan?
Complete fit. Yeah. And Mr. Ballou, our committee administrator.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Mike Ballou. I'm the committee administrator. This is my second biennium with this committee.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, Jeff Diebel, House Research. Been here over a decade. I also staff veterans issues and serve in the Army Reserve, actually with Representative Lomer's son.
And our new member replacing Rebecca.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Ben Johnson. This is my first year with House Research. I come from private practice where I've practiced in both criminal and civil matters.
I'm Representative Deborah Hillstrom. I represent all the City of Brooklyn Center and parts of Brooklyn Park. I have been in the Minnesota House of Representatives. This is my ninth term. I have served all terms on this committee. My background is, before the legislature, I was an advocate for victims of domestic violence. Then I came to the legislature. Then I went to law school, and I prosecuted for the Anoka County Attorney's Office, currently on leave from that position while I'm here.
Thank you, Representative Constantine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, first of all, for saying my name right. Jack Considine, and I represent 19B, which is Eagle Lake and Mankato, and I was locked up for 28 years. I worked in lock institutions with inmates and mentally ill and dangerous people. So I guess I have a little bit of expertise in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Joanne Ward. I represent South Maplewood, South Oakdale, the northwest part of Woodbury, and all of Landfall. And part of my background is education, and part of it is in restorative justice, restorative practices. And key interest is in youth prevention intervention.
Thank you. Representative Becker Finn.
Jamie Becker Finn. I represent District 42B, which is Little Canada, Vadnais Heights, Gem Lake, part of Roseville, and part of Shoreview. In my other life, I am an assistant Hennepin County attorney. I am a domestic violence prosecutor, so I have the privilege of working every day directly with victims, advocates, as well as law enforcement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, honorable members. I represent the southwestern part of St. Paul, and I'm a prosecutor for Ramsey County Attorney's Office. Been there a number of years, specializing in gender violence, so domestic violence for quite a bit of it, and then sexual exploitation and sex trafficking, doing training and protocol work around the state, and then most recently been I'm in the charging area, so handling a real wide variety of cases, property cases and assault and a wide variety of cases. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Thank you. And our research, Ms. Taken-Holtze.
I'm Laura Taken-Holtze, DFL Research. I have a varied legal background and some experience with this committee as well, and I'm happy to be back.
Okay. Sounds great. today we're just going to run through one of the – I think you got a copy of the rules in your packet if you want to take them out. And rather than go through and read each one, just go ahead and read them on your own. If you got a problem, let me know. And if there's something really egregious to you, we can always change rules. But I think these are basically the same as we had before, and nobody had any problems with them at that time. We're not fussy about laptops or cell phones in this committee. If you want to bring them along, we naturally ask, and I'm probably just violated as much as anybody, but pay as much attention as you can to the speaker and don't be glued to them. Also, food and drink, we're not fussy about here in this room. And what else are we going to cover? Let's see. Agenda. Data sheet? Yeah. And then the other thing, it's in the packet, is a cheat sheet that was put together by our CA. And this is just helpful information for you if you want to get a hold of a specific member. It's good to have this at hand, a room number, phone number, and email, and along with the staff. It'll be helpful as you go along in the committee. This is going to be a fun committee. Almost everything we do is either interesting or controversial. There's hardly a dull subject we ever take up. Looking forward to working with my DFL members. And Deborah Hillstrom here is our lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we seem to be the least least partisan committee, it seems like, on the House side. We do wrangle sometimes, naturally, but we don't play a lot of tricks and quick motions, or once in a while we'll do a on-the-record vote or something like this, but not as much as you generally see in other committees. We all get along pretty good, and there'll be some naturally tough times to get through, but one thing we would address is, so we don't have to jaw on this every time, we will be sending finance bills out of here without a fiscal note sometimes. But as in the past, long history of both parties doing this, we bring them back in if we find out there's a fiscal implication, or try to hold them here until we get a fiscal note. But sometimes we will be moving on bills out of here with fiscal implications, but not have the note yet. But we'll be sure to bring them back and discuss them if we do that. And we haven't decided yet where we're going to, what format, if we're going to send bills out, if it's an omnibus finance bill, or if we'll send them out, but I'll let you know as soon as we can on that. Any questions from the DFL side? Yeah, Representative Considine. Dying. That'll happen a few times, so.
Started off so good. I just warn new people, Chair Cornish calls roll, but you want to be in your seat. He starts calling roll.
That's a good point. We'll call roll, and we'll try to start every day on time, whether there's people here or not, and we'll call roll. And so just make sure you get a hold of us if you're not going to be here, if you want an excused absence, and we're pretty easy on that. But try to get a hold of us if you can before you get here. We'll start in right away on our committee meetings, at no matter who's here, probably. We won't call it official meeting to order. We'll just start hearing testimony, but we can't take any actions on the minutes or votes until there's a quorum. So better to get here as soon as you can. That would really help us along in our and get out quicker also. So should we go to the fiscal? Okay, unless there's any other questions, we'll go to our fiscal analysts or run through some of our accounts that under our jurisdiction.
Mr. Chair, members, there should be just a three-page list of our accounts in your packet. I'm going to run through this very quickly because the agencies will be coming in to give an overview and present their budget in the very near future. These agencies and boards, there are 12 under our jurisdiction. They're listed in order of their general fund size in our committee. The first one being the Department of Corrections, a base of about $548 million annually. They have 4,000 employees, and they are in charge of incarceration and rehabilitation of 9,700 inmates, 9,000 of which are male and about 700 are female. It's split between three budget activities, correctional institutions, community services, and operations support. The next largest agency would be the district courts. They have a base of $278 million per year. They have 2,600 employees and provide court services through 10 judicial districts at nearly 100 court locations. Mr. Chair, the third agency would be the Department of Public Safety. They have a $94 million fiscal year 2018 general fund base. The Department of Public Safety is split between two committees. Half of the accounts are under the jurisdiction of the Transportation Finance Committee, and that would include budget activities such as pipeline safety, driver and vehicle services, and state patrol. We have Homeland Security and Emergency Management, criminal apprehension, gambling and alcohol enforcement, Office of Justice Programs, emergency communications, and I would also add that Fire Marshal was left off this list and should also be included. Moving to the next page, the next largest agency is the Board of Public Defense. They have about 575 employees, and they provide constitutionally mandated criminal representation to low-income defendants facing prosecution for felony, gross misdemeanor, and misdemeanor-level cases. They also provide representation to children over 10 and children in need of protection services cases, or CHIPS cases. Mr. Chair, the next largest agency is the Supreme Court. They have a base of about $48 million annually. They have 250 employees, and they hear about 800 cases per year. They also include pass-through grants for civil legal services, which provides legal services in civil matters to people with low incomes, disabilities, and the elderly. The Supreme Court operations takes up about $34 million of that base, and civil legal services about $13. Mr. Chair, moving down, the Guardian Ad Litem Board is the next largest agency, $15 million annually. They have 180 employees that provide advocacy for the best interests of abused, neglected, and maltreated children in matters before the court. Mr. Chair, the next one would be the Court of Appeals, about $12 million annually. They have 85 employees and provide appellate court services for decisions of over 2,200 cases annually that are still contested after decisions at the district court levels. Mr. Chair, the next largest agency would then be the tax court. Seven employees provide court services so the public may contest orders on tax matters from the Department of Revenue, local tax valuation concerns, classifications, and other tax issues. At the bottom of the page, we have sentencing guidelines, $641,000 annually, six employees to work to ensure consistent and fair sentencing for criminal offenders in Minnesota. Mr. Chair, the last three include the Board of Judicial Standards, $486,000 per year. They have two employees to work to ensure ethics and integrity in the judicial branch and enforce the Minnesota Code of Judicial Conduct. Moving down, we have the Private Detectives Board, $189,000 a year, two employees licensed, private detectives, and security service workers. And our last is the Uniform Laws Commission, $93,000 a year. 10 unpaid commissioners work with commissions in other states to promulgate uniform laws throughout the United States. The funding is primarily the reimbursement for commissioners to attend conferences and perform work in this area. Mr. Chair, I might add that Board of Human Rights is an account that has been here in the past and was in this committee during conference committee. It is something, it's an agency that has a jurisdictional difference with the Senate. The Senate, it is in the judiciary finance area. We have moved it to state government, but it may appear in this committee depending on decisions by leadership at the time of conference committee. They have about 35 employees. They have a base of $4.2 million and deal with matters and investigations into allegations of discrimination throughout the state of Minnesota. Mr. Chair, that's all our accounts.
The Post Board?
Mr. Chair. Or
different fund?
It looks like I forgot the Post Board. They have no general fund base. They are a special revenue fund, and they are funded through a percentage of fines collected through the criminal traffic surcharge.
Okay. Representative Hilston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that was going to, one of my questions was going to be about the Human Rights Department. And is that something that leadership will ultimately decide? Because if we're going to hear it in conference in this jurisdiction, but don't hear it through the committee process, that posed a bit of an issue the last time. Do you know?
The human rights?
Correct.
I wasn't aware of any issue that...
Okay. All right.
I mean, unless there was a troublesome issue at all. I mean, I heard it come up, but so I imagine we're going to do it the same as last year, right? Unless we hear different.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah, and the Department of Public Safety, the State Patrol, some might wonder why it's not here, because it's public safety. They, for a long time, I don't know if they, what it was like before I got here, but they're funded through highway bonds, so they go through transportation. Committee, so I would like to have them in here, but I can't drag them over against the transportation chair's will. Any other questions? So our next meeting will be
tomorrow.
All right. With that, meeting adjourned.